bed. There we go.
Yes, that's fine.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you so much. Okay, yeah. Thank you, Tracy. We are recording you, and you are free to share with us for 20 minutes to half an hour. Thanks a lot. Go for it.
My name's Tracy. I'm an addict.
Hi, Tracy.
Hello, Tracy.
Hi, Tracy.
Hey, it's
Hi,
daytime
Tracy.
here, but I guess I should say good evening to you guys, especially with the time change. Welcome to anybody who's new to Narcotics Anonymous. We are glad you're here. And welcome if you have been here a while, and definitely welcome home if you're struggling, struggling clean is a part of the whole deal that we do here too. I just a little history for people, for you guys that don't know me. Some of you know me a little bit, but I started using when I was 14. I got clean when I was 46. And by the grace of God, I have not found a good enough reason to pick up dope since my first meeting with Narcotics Anonymous, which I'm tremendously grateful for. And a lot of times we talk about the gift of fear and desperation, and I was definitely given that gift of fear and desperation, because the only two emotions I had when I got here were fear and anger, or actually I should say rage. And I had been taking my anger out and rage out on everything and everyone around me for many years, but I'm very grateful for the message of Narcotics Anonymous, because the message is, no matter what, we don't have to use. And the message also is that when we work the 12 steps, we can recover from this deadly disease, And I'm so grateful that, I love the attraction rather than promotion that we talk about, because when I got clean, I saw people in meetings that were, I remember this one guy, he was in a Hawaiian t-shirt. He was celebrating 90 days clean. He was laughing, and he looked happy. And I was sitting back in the corner, and I was very scared and very angry. And when I watched him, he went up to pick up his 90-day key tag. I was like, how can anybody stay clean for 90 days? I didn't think it was possible to live without the use of drugs, But that was really attractive to me, the fact that people were having conversations and were joking and laughing. And I've laughed a lot in recovery and cried a lot in recovery, but I didn't do a lot of laughing when I was using, because it really took me, like we say, to the depths of hell and kept me there for a while. But so I'm grateful for, and I love those suggestions that we talk about. I'm grateful that I was shown unconditional love when I got here, and I wasn't shown pity and judgment. They welcomed me with open arms, knowing that I was very sick in many ways. But anyway, yeah, I'm not struggling hard today. And I was in a meeting last week, and somebody was sharing about some really hard stuff that they were going through. And it's really hard to go through the things we go through in recovery when we're in them. And the basic text says, of course, you can't deny an addict their pain, but for me, on the other side of a lot of the challenges I've had in recovery, has come a lot of freedom, I'll jump right in. When I was almost through my first set of steps, I had close to 5 years clean. I went to my doctor and got diagnosed with cancer. I have a very rare, very, well, not very rare, but a very aggressive blood cancer called mantle cell lymphoma. And, you know, I when I got that news, I was just petrified when I found that out, because, you know, I had 4 years clean. My life was getting good. I became employable again. I was making a good income and learning how to be responsible with my money. And I was totally devastated when that time came and that happened. And I definitely did not know how to feel all those feelings when I heard that news. It's horrifying. But at that time when it happened,
we've lost you a bit, Tracy. We can't hear you, Tracy.
Can you hear me now?
Now we can hear you. Yes, you're back with us. Thank you.
Oh, I'm back. I'm sorry. I don't know what happened. Anyway, I hope I didn't cut out too long there. I was talking about when I had 4 years clean and got diagnosed with cancer and how horrible it was, because my life was just starting to get better. I was just starting to realize that through the 12 steps that I could recover from this disease, and was working and making money and things that I could never do when I was what I was using, you know. And I remember the night earlier than that, backing up a little bit, that I made a commitment to myself. I made a commitment to God that I was going to work through the 12 steps once to see what happened. Because I could see in everyone else what I wanted, and that was, you know, to live that life of to find that happiness, joy, and freedom, like we talk about in NA, you know. But I made that commitment to myself, and I love in the suggestions too, where it talks about, you know, I know the In Times of Illness booklet real well. I have it right by my bedside here, matter of fact. But when it talks about honest sharing with our sponsor and with our friends can take us out of the focus of self. And I also learned through my diagnosis with cancer that putting pen to paper and continuing to work the 12 steps can take me out of self, you know. And because when I got that diagnosis, you know, somehow this disease knows when we're vulnerable. And boy, it knew when I was vulnerable. And I mentally, I went into a deeper, darker place clean than I ever did using. You know, I was sure, I was just absolutely sure that I wasn't going to live through it. I started planning my own funeral in my mind. I went into a horrible place. But you know, I had made a commitment to myself earlier on that I was going to work through those 12 steps to see what happened. And I actually finished my first 12 step while laying in the hospital bed having chemotherapy, you know, because I remembered that commitment I made to myself and that commitment I made to God that I'm going to work through this to see what will happen and try to experience that spiritual awakening we talk about, you know. And because I was really angry and was scared again when I got that diagnosis. And you know, a lot of my friends were like, oh, you can't trust the doctors and this and that. But I made a decision that, you know, I didn't know what to do with that diagnosis. So I made a decision that I would listen to my doctors and do what they told me to do, which I kind of learned through sponsorship, listening to my sponsor and doing what he told me to do. And so I went down the path of getting some really harsh, vicious chemotherapy. But and, you know, spiritually, I was starting to heal with that first set of steps and that diagnosis, and the next 6 months kind of took that all out of me. I felt like the process I went through of struggling with cancer and the chemotherapy just really emptied my tank again, you know. And They came in one day in the hospital and said, "Well, we just did your PET scan. The cancer's gone. You know, it's in remission." And I didn't know how to feel that. I just started crying. I was like, "What? I can't believe it!" And through the course of that summer, I got to jump into a meeting and share with my friends in my home group that I was cancer free, you know. And then I had that thought a couple months later, because I was so like broken again from all that, what that treatment did to me spiritually, that I remembered that, well, I can work the 12 steps again. I can dig in. And I called my sponsor and said, "Hey, I had this thought of going through the 12 steps again, because I really feel like this process of going through chemo and everything took so much out of me." And I asked him what he thought, and he said, "By all means, do continue to write, you know, because you will continue to recover. And a lot of times throughout that process, I would call him up and I'd be just so messed up around stuff. And he would tell me those in his real soft voice. He would tell me those three simple words that kept me going. And he would say, "Just keep writing." I remember asking him, "Is it really that simple?" And he would say, "Yes, just keep writing. Keep sharing honestly in meetings where you're at. Don't isolate with this other disease that you're going through, and just keep writing, you know." And little did I know where that would take me, because here I am a few years later, still clean and still writing. You know, I've never put down the pen and paper throughout my recovery. It's one of the things I stay consistent at and committed to, and that is my step work, you know. And then in that calendar year, the cancer came back, and I was like, "Oh my God, what do I do now again?" And I remember how I got through it the first time. Well, I kept sharing honestly. I kept telling my friends how scared I was. I asked for help, had people take me to and from meetings. Because that first time through the steps, I had built that relationship with the God of my understanding and was starting to learn that I could put faith and trust into that relationship. And I remember when I had those thoughts of, "Well, what do I do now? I got to go through this again." Well, okay, I can go through it again. I'm going to keep writing and keep being honest and just keep using those tools that I have learned in Narcotics Anonymous, you know. And so I went through the process again. You know, I lost a whole bunch of weight. I lost all my hair. Oh my God, I looked horrible for a number of years. In fact, I tell my friends that don't know me in recovery that I had a 7-year period of my life in recovery clean, where my life was more unmanageable clean than it ever was using. And there's a friend of mine too that always says, "Thank God we don't know what's ahead." And I'm really glad that I didn't know the journey that I would be taken in recovery, because if I did know what was ahead, that I would have never gotten clean. My head would have said, "You can't do it. It's not worth it. Just don't do it." And I wouldn't be alive today. But, you know, so I went through this process again, chemo, radiation. Oh my God, it was horrible. And I kept writing, kept praying, kept relying on God, kept asking for help. And the cancer went away again, second time. And then my doctors were like, "Well, we want you to have a stem cell transplant. And if there's somebody in your family that you can get your blood checked, because it's a blood transplant today." They said, you could qualify for a stem cell transplant if you can find a donor." And my brother, who is a retired state trooper, he's a retired policeman, I'm the addict in the family, and he's a cop. So I never talked to him for close to 30 years, because I'm out there doing my thing. And you guys get that, you know, I couldn't talk to him. My brother, who was on my amends list, who I made amends to when he was down here Denver, Colorado, which is where I'm from. He lives in Alaska, but he was down in Denver, Colorado, because my mom was having she had a couple heart attacks, and I made my amends to my brother, and a year later got to call him back up and ask him if he would get his blood checked for to see if he was any kind of a match for my stem cell transplant. And you know, there's so many miracles in my recovery I can't even tell you guys, but he was a perfect 10 out of 10 DNA match for me, and which is a complete miracle.
I can't use my calculator. Just tried to, and it's chopping off the meeting.
Are we still on?
Yes, Tracy. Moderator is just taking care of something.
Yeah, that's fine.
I think everything is all good now. Thank you.
Yeah, that's fine. Anyway, so, you know, my brother, who I made amends to, and that's the power of making amends, you know, I was still scared to call him back up and ask him for help. But after making my amends, I knew that I could approach him and have a conversation. And he had his blood checked and was a perfect 10 out of 10 DNA match for me. He flew down here and helped me through that whole process of my stem cell transplant. And it was, they put me on so much medication, I was basically incapable of functioning for a long time. You know, to me, I've experienced that level of powerlessness to where I remember when I couldn't get up and walk to the bathroom, and my bathroom's only 10 feet away from my living room here in my house. I couldn't get there. And by my own means, I would have to hang on to the walls and struggle over to get to the bathroom and back, you know. But the thing that really has kept me going and kept me moving forward in Narcotics Anonymous, like we always talk, is putting pen to paper. You know, because we always have time to do step work. And there's another good friend of mine that I always talk about, you know, if we just listen to the crap going on between our two ears and we don't take action, we're selling ourselves short. And he's absolutely right. You know, my recovery is my responsibility, and it's a program of prayer and action. And it's the action that I've taken and still taken in my recovery that keeps me moving forward. You know, living in acceptance, practicing surrender every day, saying that third step prayer every day, turning over my will and my life and asking God for help every day. You know, these are the things that have kept me moving forward. And, you know, through all that period of time, I buried my best friend in recovery. He couldn't stop smoking cigarettes and he smoked himself to death. I grieved the loss and buried my mother and father through that whole period of time. I lost both of them. There's been a lot of really hard things to walk through, a lot of pain, a lot of fear, a lot of emotional stuff that I didn't know at that time what to do with, you know, but somewhere down deep in my spirit, I knew that, you know, putting dope in my body was a choice. But it was not a solution. It's never a solution to any of the problems I have using, you know. And, you know, moving forward today, I am 13 years past my stem cell transplant. My doctors are amazed. Today I'm off all the medication. I got my strength back. A couple months ago on my clean day, they took my Harley and rode, took a 4,000 mile trip through the west coast of the U.S. here. It was just, I told my friends, it's me, God, and the open road. It was a 2-week spiritual journey. You know, I've gotten healthy enough to live again. And I, you know, I watched the people when I got here. I remember this gal, I had a year clean. I was sitting in a meeting and her husband had picked up and died. And she had two twin babies in both of her arms. And I remember thinking to myself, how can she stay clean with two infants when her husband just passed away. You know, so I learned from others in the program that were walking through really hard stuff that I could walk through that hard stuff also and not have to pick up from it. You know, and I'll never forget when that happened. I still know that this woman today, she's still here and her kids are grown and all. But, you know, I learned from others by watching them walk through the hard stuff that I could walk through some of the hard stuff myself, you know, and stay clean. Because the bottom line is that's, you know, it's like we say, join the No Matter What Club. It will save your life. And I did. I joined the No Matter What Club when I got here, and I'm still a member of that No Matter What Club today, you know. And I just got to tell you guys, too, that I don't struggle a lot anymore with all my character defects. I wanted to touch on that because I've been through the steps. My step working guide is falling apart. The pages are coming out of it. I think this is my sixth go-around through the 12 steps. Because about every 3-4 years, I start on one, I go through 12. And what happens when I go through that process is I continue to learn more about myself. I continue to get better. And God also shows me the areas of my life which are still in need of improvement. But, you know, by practicing the spiritual principles and learning to practice the spiritual principles and not having to live in the pain and the unmanageability and the consequences from living in the character defects, you know, my life has gotten a lot better. And I learned that. It's like in the sixth step we talk about, you know, we don't have control over those defects of character. It's only the God of our understanding that can help us to practice the spiritual principles. And you know, when I live in the spiritual principles, which are really based around good, healthy behavior, I don't pay the consequences for living in my character defects. You know, today in my life, I don't live in resentment. I haven't lashed out in anger in many, many years. I don't live in fear anymore because after I faced the fear of my own mortality a couple of times, I looked at my other fear inventories and just kind of chuckled at, and they just, all those other fears I had just seemed insignificant, you know, and I've learned through step or two that I don't have to think my way into that world of fear. I remember writing about that. Why am I here so petrified and scared? What got me here? There was nothing to be scared of. My thinking had put me there, you know, and my projection into the future, which is pretty fear-based stuff, had taken me there. So I remember I wrote about projection. And, you know, after doing many 4 steps and clearing the wreckage of my past, I have freedom from my past. After doing many 6 steps and realizing that my character defects are what keeping me sick, I let go of a lot of that. You know, write about the old, let God restore me with the new. That's what I always remind myself about. But when my past is stripped away and that fear-based stuff is projected from projection is stripped away in the future, what's left now is the here and now. And I'm happy in the here and now. I'm okay in the here and now. I can feel that peace and serenity and my gratitude when I'm in the here and now, you know. And even self-obsession, a lot of days I don't struggle with self-obsession. And these are the freedoms that we talk about that anybody can have, these kind of freedoms. We always talk about how much freedom do you want and what are you willing to do to find it? What are you willing to do to get it? You know, today in my recovery, I'm still willing to go to any lengths to stay clean. I'm still willing to go to any lengths to recover. And, you know, that's why I started a new set of steps, year and a half ago, because I'm aging in recovery. And as you guys know, aging in recovery brings a whole new set of problems, you know. and I wanted to ground myself in my powerlessness again and go through this set of steps on learning how to really live in acceptance. There's things that I can't do anymore, and that's okay, but there's still things that I can do today, you know. And I'm so grateful for the message of Narcotics Anonymous that has helped me through this whole journey. Don't use no matter what. Work the 12 steps like your life depends upon it, because it does. You know, and today, my life is pretty good. I don't know what's ahead tomorrow, and I don't have to know what's ahead tomorrow, because when I have stripped away all that stuff, you know, in the future and in the past, what's left after I've stripped away all that stuff is the beauty of the moment and living in today, like we always talk about. You know, pull yourself back into the moment. You're okay in the moment, and you're okay in today. And I really owe my life to Narcotics Anonymous and the life I have today. So anyway, I think that's probably enough out of me. Hilmarie, Christine, all you guys, I don't know, Hilmarie, Christine, Jackie, yes, and all you guys that have kept this meeting going and doing service, thank you so much. I do a lot of service myself here in Colorado. I do H&I and share and do a lot of sponsorship, and I believe in giving it away, because like we say, you know, that's how we keep it, is by helping others and by giving it away. So thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to share. And with that, I will close. Thanks so much. Love you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tracy.
Thank you, Tracy.
I knew that it would be wonderful to listen to you again doing your share. You know, I've heard you before, and I'm so glad that, may I say, you celebrated 22 years, I think it's a week ago or 2 weeks ago, and we are so grateful and for that, and happy birthday, and thank you so much. I knew it would be a great share to listen to, because so much of it, you spoke the truth, you know. So it's a biggish meeting, and I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, and then we'll go over to Clean Time Countdown. In NA, we celebrate clean time with claps and virtual hugs. Is anyone celebrating a clean time milestone today or this week for multiple years? 18 months? 1 year? 9 months? 6 months, 90 days, 60 days, 30 days. Is there anyone here tonight who has 1 day clean, is at their first meeting, or would like to join NA and pick up a white virtual keyring?
Hilmarie, Trevor. 9 months.
Oh, Trevor, I didn't see that you said in the chat. I've got this very old iPad at the moment, because my iPad and my laptop is broken. So congratulations. 9 months.
Congratulations,
Trevor. Fantastic. And keep coming back. You are so welcome, and we thank you big time, Trevor. All right. Well,
Alicia, yes, has 6 months.
Someone else as well.
And 16 days, 6 months, 16 days.
Oh, we've done. Who was that, Alicia?
Congrats.
Well done.
Alicia, well done. You too, my darling. And you are in for a ride. Put your seatbelt on and enjoy. Anybody else? Okay, wonderful. So with that, the floor is open for anyone to share back on what you've heard from Tracy's share or anything that's going on in your recovery today. And we're quite a big meeting. Well, we're 16 people, so we ask people to share the time, and the floor is open. The floor is yours. Take it away. Okay.
I'm Jackie. I'm an addict.
Hi, Jackie.
Hi, Jackie.
Thank you for being here, everyone, and making the meeting. Thank you for your service, Hilmi and Christine.